Hello, everyone. It's time for Vanished Chicagoland Stories, the podcast. I'm your host, Pete Costanis. This is episode 283, season 12. Today's date is December 6, 2023. And welcome to the program. Yes, I have another show today. Oh, boy, I'm on a winning streak. On today's program, I'm going to talk about two controversial things that happened in the 1980s. And one happened here in Chicago. The first one was the Max Headroom broadcast signal intrusion that occurred in 1987 that interrupted local programming in Chicago. I'll get into more detail of that. Also, I'll talk about the Cabbage Patch dolls craze in the 1980s. And that one is very interesting. And it was about 40 years ago that all these turn of events happen. Okay. Right now, the program will go into a commercial break. And this program is brought to you by Lowenbrau Beer. And here's a Christmas commercial from 1978. Oh, that's nice. It has that famous theme song. Oh, I love this theme song. I love this theme song. So sit back and relax, and I'll be right back with the show, folks. Thank you.
Here's to good friends. Tonight is kind of special.
Merry Christmas. Come on in.
The beer will pour.
Second, you guys. Where do you think you're going? Merry Christmas.
So tonight, let it be low and brown.
It's been a good year.
It sure has.
Good friends.
Okay, everyone, I am back. I hope you enjoyed the commercial for Lowenbrau Beer. That beer is not available in the United States. I haven't seen it. I played this commercial before. It is available elsewhere. It's the name Lowenbrau is German for Lion's Brew, and they started processing this beer over 600 years ago. Wow, long time ago, in Munich, Germany, and then they brought it to the United States like that. And I've had it a couple times during when I was young. It's pretty good. You know, I'm not much of a beer drinker. I seldom do. The only beer I drink now is Greek beer. I had one last week. I had Mythos or Fix. But the memories of this beer was the television commercials. And I used to watch the commercials when Saturday Night Live was on in the late 70s. With the original cast, you know, John Belushi, Gilda Radner, Dan Aykroyd, Chevy Chase, Bill Murray, Jane Curtin, Lorraine Newman, Gary Morris, all those guys. And the guy singing in the commercial, I always thought it was Lou Rawls. No, it was not him. It was not Lou Rawls. And the jingle that called Here's to Good Friends was originally performed by a baritone jazz singer named Arthur Prysock. And it's similar to his voice is similar to Lou Rawls. And then I thought it was him, but no, Lou Rawls never sang for Lowenbrau Beer. He sang for Budweiser. I think so. Yeah. He sang for Budweiser. Not this beer. No. And that ad ran from 1977 to 1985, a lot of people remember the commercials and the jingle, and the beer, of course. And then it just went away. Like around the late 1990s, and then that was it. And then I think it sold to a Canadian brewery, and you know, I don't see it in liquor stores. You know, when I pass by grocery stores, that is, I don't know, it's gone. You know, yesterday I did a podcast episode, and I had a commercial about Michelob, and you don't see Michelob. You see Michelob Ultra. I don't know how that tastes. I don't know about the regular Michelob. I don't know. I used to like that beer. It was pretty good. Okay. At the beginning of the program, I mentioned I'm going to talk about two controversial subjects. One is the Max Headroom broadcast signal intrusion that happened on two TV stations in Chicago in the late 1980s. Also, the Cabbage Patch doll craze that happened in the 80s, probably the early 80s, like that, or mid-80s, for that matter. Before I get started, I want to mention one thing. I found out this morning that legendary TV producer Norman Lear passed away. And he was 101 years old. Oh, and his mind, he still had his mind. Oh, my God. Amazing. What an amazing man, you know. And his television shows that he created are classics, and they will live on forever. I love them, you know. For example, All in the Family, Maude, Good Times, The Jeffersons, One Day at a Time, Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman, Sanford and Son, did that, and others, you know. And I will do a podcast episode about him. My memories of watching those shows during the 70s and 80s, and some TV shows that were not successful, and I did watch those. So I got a long list. So it'll be fun. So this is an interesting subject, and you know, my condolences to the family. You know, he lived a long life. God bless him. Okay. So let's get started. I'm going to talk about the Max Headroom broadcast signal intrusion that invaded Chicago TV stations. First, I'll talk about Max Headroom. It was a TV show. Well, actually, he became a TV show later, but actually he was a fictional character. He was the first computer-generated TV presenter. You know, it's like, you know, and... when I first saw him, he was the most bizarre thing I ever saw in my life. I remember watching primetime television in the late 80s, and this guy pops up, and he did a Coke commercial, you know, Coca-Cola. And I'm saying to myself, who is this guy? What's he doing? You know, and I don't understand. But, you know, his character took off, and, you know, he was a big hit, and... he was created by a man named George Stone, and there were other people as well. The man who portrayed him was an actor, Matt Frewer. He was a Canadian actor. I remember from Dr. Doctor, if you remember that show that came later. That was a good show. He's the one that did it, you know, and people were asking me, like that. And they made a movie. This premiered as a TV movie in England, you know, in the UK. And, you know, he did that. And then he came to the United States. And then, so that premiered on April 4th, 1985. And I don't know if the Coke commercial came before that or after. I think the same time, I guess. So, and then ABC premiered the show, you know, on Channel 7. And it was, and it premiered, what show was it? When did it premiere? It premiered on March 31st, 1987, and it only ran about 2 months. So it didn't do very well. It aired so it aired 2 seasons and about 15 episodes. And it was a very interesting concept, which I thought it was. You know, I watched a couple of episodes. I didn't have time because I was at school or working. And so it was bizarre. Like that. And it's on DVD if you would like to buy it. Or I don't know if it's on streaming, if you'd like. You know, help yourself like that. But then we get down to the very interesting story about him. It involves in Chicago. On November 22nd, 1987, I was watching on Channel 9 the news. It happened because I think, you know, it was Sunday night, you know, and I'm winding down. The TV was just on in my room. I was watching in my room. I still had a black and white Zenith. Believe it or not, you know, I had that because my family was watching something else. And anyway, Dan Rowan, the sportscaster for WGN TV Channel 9, he did the sports. He was doing his job. And then all of a sudden, he got cut off by something. I thought maybe like something happened, like something like a somebody died or like some unfortunate incident happened. It was kind of scary in a moment. So then all of a sudden, this guy comes on the TV wearing a Max Headroom mask, and he interrupted the program. You know, he intruded and I didn't know what he was saying most of the time. And it was kind of distorted, and there was like lines in the background, and Max Headroom was wearing you know what, the funny thing about it, he's wearing sunglasses and a mask. You know, and he wore like a suit, and he was referencing to Coca-Cola. You know, that was a sponsor for the TV show. He either sang the Clutch Cargo theme song, or imagine Clutch Cargo, the cartoon that we used to watch on Garfield Goose and Friends. You know, Fraser Thomas on Channel 9. You know, in the mornings, and also. The WGN anchor Chuck Swirsky, you know, he's a sports anchor, a very nice man, you know, and all the greatest world newspaper nerds, which he made WGN, which WGN stands for World's Greatest Newspaper. And that lasted about 25 seconds, you know, during the sports segment. And then once he was through, the signal returned, and Dan Rowan looked kind of, I don't know, to me, flabbergasted. He's probably saying to himself, what the heck was that? What was going on? You know, and I can imagine what I, you know, if I've been I just became friends with him on Facebook, and, you know, people have asked him, what was your opinion on this? Well, and I don't know what he said, probably because he probably freaked out like the rest of us. And I freaked out too, like that. And so I thought that was over and done with. Not so fast. No, 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 no. So everything went back to normal. And about 2 hours later, there was a second one, another signal hijacking, and that lasted a little longer. And that was on WTTW TV Channels 11. It was a rerun of the science fiction series Doctor Who. A lot of people are big Doctor Who fans. And that was the episode of The Horror of Fang Rock. This one was a little more graphic. And he was muttering something and all that. But this one, he dropped his pants and he exposed his butt. And he's, you know, he's mooning on the TV and he's being spanked by a fly swatter by some unknown person. So that lasted about, like I said, about, excuse me. Yeah, that lasted a little longer, about 90 seconds, like over a minute. And those people that were responsible have never been identified or caught. We don't know who they were, or we don't know why they did it. I mean, what was the reason for doing this sort of thing, to interrupt? And, you know, this caught headlines the next day in the newspapers, in the media. Oh, my God, it was a field day for that. Now, the one in Channel 11, I did not see. I did not see at all. No, I probably was asleep. But then the next day I found out that, yeah, it happened a second time. I go, what? It happened again with this? Oh, amazing. So it sounds like the engineers at WGN lost control of their broadcast tower, and also in Channel 11, WTDW. Now, I don't know how this happened. Now, I'm asking myself, was this an inside job? Like it was an employee that did, the employees of the TV station, or was it somebody that used to work there and did this? Or was it just you were picked out at random? I don't know. Who knows? And then later on, a criminal investigation was conducted by the FCC. And they could not find the people responsible. And, you know, they couldn't find them. You know, they can't find who did them. I don't know if they're still alive or are they still in the area? Who knows? I don't know. But that was a very infamous time. Excuse me. Anyway, so that was crazy. So this is what Dan Rowan said when he was doing the sports. He says, well, if you're wondering what's happened, so am I. And he said the computer was running the news and took off and went wild. That's what he said. Oh, that was funny. What a great man. So I don't know. But the funny thing is the signal for Channel 11, that's at Sears Tower, you know, not known as the Willis Tower. So we don't know what happened. We don't know. So both videos are still on YouTube. You can watch them, courtesy of Rick Klein from Fuzzy TV Memories, you know, Museum of Chicago Television. You can watch those, and you can relive what happened. I watched them yesterday, you know, for the first time in many years, and trying to figure out what's going on, but no. Nothing. It's just, it was just like when I was watching Channel 9, you know, the news, and that happened. So just like the rest of the viewers in the Chicago area. Amazing. You know, it's funny, but it's also kind of angry at the same time. And also frustrating. Frustrating that these culprits were never caught for doing that, for disrupting everyone's TV viewing. You know what I mean? So, I don't know about this, how the people at the stations at the time felt when they were interrupted. So, oh boy, that's another wonderful, no, not wonderful, crazy moment in Chicago television history. Oh, boy. Okay. That's enough of that. Now we're going to go to the Cabbage Patch Dolls. And they were called the Cabbage Patch Kids. Now, I'll give you a brief history about these. They were cloth dolls with plastic heads. They were first introduced by the Coleco company. Remember Coleco Toys? Yeah, in 1982. And the man who sculpted, you know, he's the one that sort of created the Cabbage Patch Dolls. His name was Xavier Roberts, and he was from Cleveland, Georgia. So he's the one that did that, and he introduced that toy lineup to Coleco, and they took off, and it sold like hotcakes. And then the brand name was renamed Cabbage Patch Kids. Yeah, I think it was they were called Little People first, you know, like that, and they changed the name. So they were sold in toy stores, like, for example, Toys R Us, also Kmart, Zare, Sears, Marshall Fields, anywhere where there's a toy department. And like I said, it became very popular. And you know what? In the 80s, my aunt, when she was alive, she wanted to buy a doll for that. I don't know for who exactly. It wasn't for her grandchildren because they weren't born yet. And I think it was some kid that she went to a party. And, you know, my mom suggested to her, why don't you keep it? Don't give it to her because that's a collector's item. It was unwrapped, unopened. So keep it, you know. I think she gave it to her. It gave the child anyway. But, you know, if she kept that, that would have been worth a lot of money now. You know, I guess not. So, but it became very popular in from 1982 all the way to like about 1986 or something like that. And then they started advertising on TV, newspapers. They had them on sales, you know, leaflets and, you know, all kinds of advertising. And everyone talked about it. And the funny thing is, during the this occurred as a infamous event calling the Cabbage Patch Riots. Okay, so right now, before I talk about that, I'm going to stop for a commercial. I'm going to go play a commercial for the Cabbage Patch Kids, courtesy of Toys R Us, and it's from the 1980s. This is a Christmas commercial. And when I come back, I will talk about the Cabbage Patch Riots. Okay? So I'll be right back, folks. Thank you.
Come with me to a place
you'll be glad that you did.
Get free!
And so much more a wonder store with Toys R Us Kids.
Guess what we want, Jeffrey?
You want Cabbage Patch Kids, and everything Cabbage Patch is at Toys R Us. We've got the most Cabbage Patch Kids. Cabbage Patch Kids World Travelers. Collect them all. The Show Pony and Kid. The whole world of Coleco's Cabbage Patch Kids at out-of-this-world prices.
It's the world's biggest toy, so let's go!
Okay, everyone, I am back. I hope you enjoyed the commercial for Cabbage Patch Kids or dolls, you know, from Toys R Us. Toys R Us has made a comeback. I'm glad they're back. You know, I think there's one in Macy's downtown, you know, but I think they're going to open more brick and mortar stores. They should. You know, what's fun about going to a toy store is browsing. I love doing that. I think I talked about that in a previous episode. Maybe I'll talk about it again. You know, browsing through a toy store and looking at all these wonderful toys. You know, board games, dolls, bicycles, all kinds of games. You know, it's fascinating. I did that when I was a child. It was like a Disney World to me. You know, it's fascinating. But I'm glad it's returning. I'm glad the stores are returning. So that's good. Okay. Right now, I'm going to talk about the Cabbage Patch Riots. And this happened like in the fall and the winter of 1983, like around 40 years ago, this, you know, at this time. And the problem was there was the demand of this product was overwhelming. It really was. And, you know, and most stores tried to stock as much as they could. But a lot of people just went bananas. They went crazy. And there were some violent there was some violence that happened at those stores. Nobody got killed, thank God. You know, the employees at the stores tried to control the crowds, and some people didn't even get the dolls because they were standing in line for hours, you know. And some of the violence that happened, or the occurrences, happened at most at the retail stores like Sears, JCPenney, Montgomery Ward's, Macy's, and also Kmart and Zare, and could be others. Thankfully, I don't think it happened in Chicago. I didn't hear anything. No, nothing. I didn't hear a thing, unless it was like under the radar or something, or but it happened elsewhere. And sometimes there was hitting, there was shoving, there was trampling. And some people brought baseball bats, threatening the employees, you know, at the stores. Oh my God, it's like caveman time. It's, you know, and they wanted to get a Cabbage Patch doll. And it was crazy, crazy. You can find those news reports on YouTube. If you do a search, you will see in the some news reports. And it was just nuts. And, you know, employees were interviewed. Customers were interviewed. Mostly disappointed ones, you know. And by the following year, there was more supply came of the dolls. But, you know, something... demand dropped, and then everything calmed down. Everything was serene. Everything was back to normal. But everything was in a frenzy at that time. You know, it was just, I was watching this on the news, and, you know, my parents were, and especially my mom, she goes like, what the heck's going on? These people are uncivilized. They acted worse than their own kids over a doll. She was right, you know, she was right at the time. You know, that's, I agree with her like that. And this sounded somewhat similar. It's like for when Tickle Me Elmo was around 1986, that took off. But I don't know if there were riots or anything like that. It was just crazy. And now you can just walk into a store and buy one. Same thing with a Cabbage Patch doll. Because they're available. You can buy them now. You know, and not as popular as in the 80s, but they are there, you know. And the riots inspired the plot of the movie called Jingle All the Way that starred Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, and that came out in 1996. And I watched the movie, and he wanted to buy a Turbo Man action figure for his sons at last minute. Well, that's not smart. No, you know, but the movie was funny. Arnold Schwarzenegger was great. You know, it was just crazy. It was just crazy. But a lot of critics didn't like the movie. My brother put it on one day. I watched it with him, and I go, yeah, it was funny. But, you know, there was some overreacting, you know, overacting too, like that. But, yeah, but it's a classic. But that when you watch that movie, it reminded me of the Cabbage Patch riots. Yeah. So... Oh boy, that is two events we will never forget. Never. Okay. So that's it for this show. I'll do a recap of what I talk about. I talk about the Max Headroom broadcast signal intrusions that happened on two Chicagoland TV stations, WGN, WTTW, that was Channel 9, Channel 11, in 1987. Also, the Cabbage Patch doll craze that happened in 1983. This is a fun episode. I enjoyed it. This podcast will be published later on today, wherever podcasts are available. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, also Amazon Music, also Breaker, Overcast. This will be on my blog, vanchicagoland.blog. And also on my YouTube channel. I'll say it again, one more time. If you want to listen to my podcast, go to my YouTube channel and hit subscribe. And also at the apps I mentioned, you will get that episode. You'll get notified. Well, you get notified first, and then you can listen to previous episodes as you like. Also be posted on my social media accounts, Facebook, X, Reddit, LinkedIn, Threads, and Instagram. Okay. The next episode I mentioned earlier in the program will be about Norman, TV producer Norman Lear. I will do a tribute to him probably Saturday or Sunday. It won't be fun. It'll be sad, but be very interesting. Okay. So this is Pico Stanis, your host of Van Chicagoland Stories. Thank you for joining me today. Today's not too bad. Weather-wise, it's not snowing, it's not raining, it's just cloudy. You know, we had a cloudy December. It's fine. Okay. So everyone have a great day. Here's bye-bye for me, and here's a little traveling music with Ray Rayner saying bye-bye-bye. Take care, everyone, and so long.
We have to go. Bye-bye-bye.